Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. As iron sharpens iron, today's passage emphasizes the value of mutual improvement through fellowship with other Christians. Also, diligent stewardship is a key to financial health, but material wealth cannot fully satisfy. True worth is found in godly character, which helps one to build a good reputation with believers and unbelievers alike. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 27 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
All right, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron. You ever see those, you know, when they're sharpening iron, sparks are flying, right? That's what happens when iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. What a beautiful imagery here. Friends can sharpen one another, even as one piece of metal can sharpen and brighten another piece of metal. But there's some friction there, isn't there? When iron sharpens iron, I've said it, sparks fly. And this speaks of the importance of interaction with one another, of having the love of Christ and the love for one another to enable us to challenge one another and to correct one another or to encourage one another. Now, you can't do this by watching online. You can't practice all of the one another's in Scripture if you're an online viewer. You need to be with people, right? You need to be with people. It's been said that the best mirror is an old friend. It's true. We can only grow so much if we're never in regular fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ who challenge us, who exhort us. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. That's how iron sharpens iron. Exhort one another. Challenge one another. Hey, brother, you got such a beautiful gift, a beautiful talent, a beautiful voice. You're so gifted with in this area. Come on, get involved. Do something. Make a difference for the kingdom of God. That's provoking one another in a good way. The Bible says that we are to be provoking one another, right? That's good provocation. I grew up with two brothers. We didn't provoke one another in godly ways, right? And so this is good. You see, we're learning a lot tonight about interaction, challenging one another, encouraging one another, because sometimes we need that, right? Sometimes somebody is just waiting for that someone to come up to them. Maybe they're the kind of personality, not everybody go, you know, I heard you sing. I heard you play the piano, or I saw how you did this or that. And you go, you know, did you ever think of using that, whatever, at home or, you know, at church? Iron sharpens iron. Verse 18, whoso keeps the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Of course, the fig tree is a symbol of Israel. So he that waits on his master shall be honored. Jesus says no man can serve two masters. And you know what, beloved? When you and I purpose to serve our master, when you and I purpose to wait on him faithfully, diligently, you know what? God says, if you honor me, I will honor you. That's what it says in the book of Samuel. He that waits on his master. And Jesus said, remember, in Matthew chapter 25, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And one of the ways that we wait on the master is by waiting on one another, loving one another, encouraging one another. You have no idea how a text, a card, how far it can go. A little word of kindness, waiting on one another, waiting on the Lord. He that waits on his master shall be honored. Verse 19 is, as in water, face answers to face. In other words, water reflects your face. So the heart of man to man. Just as water reflects a person's actual appearance, so the heart reflects a person's true nature. It's been said, and it is true, if you want to know what you are really like, do not look into a mirror. Look into your heart. Listen to your heart. What do you mean? Listen to your heart. Well, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Jesus said in, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, not because you don't wash your hands before a meal. The heart. You see, that's the core you. That's the real you. Now, when the Bible talks about the heart, he's just not talking about the organ that pumps the blood. He's talking about the real you, the core you, the place where the Spirit of God dwells. According to the Lord Jesus, what is in the heart of man is discerned by what comes out of it. As water, as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Two things are here said to never be satisfied: death and sin. The eyes of man. The appetites of a carnal mind for the profit or pleasures are always desiring more. Always desiring more. Covetous never says, oh, that's enough. Those whose eyes are ever toward the Lord are those who are satisfied. Hell, the grave devours all the bodies which are put into it and is always ready to devour more. The eyes, boy, the eyes, what a phenomenal part of the human body. The eyes. The Bible talks about the single eye, the wandering eye, the perverted eye, the eyes, the desire of the eyes. Now, this could be true of any of the senses. The craving for their gratification grows as it is fed. And therefore, the senses, our senses should be carefully guarded lest they lead to excess and transgression. The eyes of the carnal mind and the lust thereof are insatiable things. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Boy, the advertising companies, they know this, right? The eyes, you know, the car showmen. Or if they want to sell you something, some medicine, or they want you to subscribe to all of these crazy things that on television, you know, fruits of nature or something. You know, you buy this, you know, you take these two pills and you're going to be happy and never have a problem in your life. And they just know how to sell things. The eyes can be so easily deceived. Romans 13:11 says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Because the flesh is never satisfied. It never says, it will never say enough. You know what happens when you feed the flesh? You need to feed it more the next time. And then you need to feed it more the next time. And then you need to feed it more the next time. And it's never satisfied. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, that we are to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. And what are some of the things that war against our soul? What are some of the fleshly lusts? Well, just read the parable of the sower, the seed that is sown among thorns. Those are things that are at war with our souls, and amongst them is the eye. It's never satisfied. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. So often we are tested by the manner in how we respond to praise. What happens when people praise you? Does it trigger arrogance and pride? Does it cause you to be humble? It's been said that praise more than criticism can be a severe test that reveals our character. Proverbs 17:3 says, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord, he tries the heart. Adam Clark in the 1800s says, as silver and gold are tried by the art of the refiner, so is a man's heart by the praise he receives. If he feel it not, he deserves it. If he be puffed up by it, he he is worthless. Though you should bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. In other words, it's possible to purge metals of all their dross, but you cannot purge a fool of his folly. The Passion paraphrase says this: you can beat a fool half to death and still never beat the foolishness out of him. The only solution for a foolish living is a new heart, conviction of the Holy Spirit, and a renewed mind by the Word of God. Now, the last five verses tonight really are, they stress about the importance of, well, back then, most of the people lived in a farmer or a herdsman kind of a lifestyle. And it's an exhortation to really know the condition of your flock, to know them well. Look, it says in verse 23 through verse 27. We'll read all of the verses and then comment on them. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And does the crown endure to every generation? The hay appears and the tender grass shows itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And you shall have goats' milk enough for your food, for the food of your household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flock, and look well, or give careful attention to your herds. Now, a shepherd was to pay close attention to the flocks and to the herds. And this imagery certainly pertains to anyone who is in any form of degree of ministry in the body of Christ. It's so vital for any man called to be in ministry to know the state of the flock. It is so important. Remember when Jesus called Peter into ministry. In John chapter 21, he said in verses 15 through 17, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, love thou me?" He said unto him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. You know all things." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." I think that those are passages that everybody in spiritual leadership should read because it reflects the heart of the Lord. He loves you tremendously. You know that, right? The Lord Jesus loves you so much. And what touches my heart is that he says to Peter, "Peter, I want to know one thing. I want to know that you love me. Because it's only if you love me that you can love my people." Isn't that beautiful? You see, that's the heart of a shepherd. It's a person who loves the Lord and loves the Lord's people. That's you, the flock. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? Do you agape me?" And then he says, "Do you phileo me?" You know, feed my sheep. And that has to be the priority of every single person in leadership. Feeding the flock of God, ministering to the flock of God. Peter, he took this to heart. Remember when he wrote his first epistle? He said in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, he said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." And here's Peter giving the exhortation. And you can hear in Peter's words there that he remembers that conversation with Jesus. That picture never stuck, got out of his mind. Jesus saying, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And Peter tells these other elders. He didn't say the elders that are among you, I also among you I exhort, who am also an elder. He didn't say, I'm the Pope. I'm up here and you're down there. He goes, I'm an elder just like you, and I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I'm a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And then he says, feed the flock that is among you. Feed them. He didn't say beat them. He didn't say manipulate them. He didn't say control them. He says, feed them. Well, what's the best food for sheep? Right? This is the best food for sheep. Right here, saints. This is the best food. This is sheep food. And let me tell you something. Let's not take for granted. We're entering into strange waters these days. In my opinion, the best food that a shepherd can give the people of God is the Word of God. Chapter by chapter, book by book, line upon line, feed them. Because there's a lot of crazy things that are coming at the body of Christ. We'll be looking at them, Lord willing, if the Lord wills, when we get into Jude at the end of this month. How we need the Word of God, how we need to be teaching the Word of God, feeding the Word of God, whether it be at growth groups, home studies, youth group, whatever it is, women's ministry, whatever it is, it should be all focused upon the Word of God. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we are told to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And he, in Ephesians 4, says that there is one Lord and one faith. Now, we're being told we need to be all-inclusive. We all believe the same thing. We all believe things, but there's one faith, one Lord, one gospel, one way to heaven, and that's it.
Amen.
Right? That's it. You don't go locking arms with the devil in the name of being all-inclusive. That's nonsense. That's not biblical. That's not even really loving your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you don't want them to go to hell. What's the only thing that can keep them out of hell? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Paul, when he met with the elders from Ephesus there, he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. You have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Realize that the price that God paid to redeem you and me. And Paul says the times are coming where people are going to wander off into tangents, and there's going to be all kinds of lying spirits and deceiving spirits. He says, you feed my people my word. I love it. Not because you have to, willingly, and of a ready mind. And so here, the farmer, God says, take care of the goats. Take care of the lambs. And they would make sweaters and they would have provisions for their family. Take care of my people. That's the call of God to everyone called into ministry. Take care of my people. And that's what we desire to do. We desire to care for you and to love you and to feed you. That's what we desire to do. He that lovingly tends the flock and is hardworking and diligent. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:7, who plants a vineyard and eats not the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and eats not the milk of the flock? You honor God and God will honor you. You take care of God and God will take care of you. I love it when visitors come here. And if they come two or three times, and sometimes they'll catch me afterwards and go, how do you give money around here? Why do you ask? Well, there's a box back there with various holes in it. And that's one of the ways that you get to worship God. Well, you never talk about it. Well, I will when we're talking about it in the Bible. You're going to have a hard time talking about money when you're in the book of Ruth. Or in the book, if somebody comes out with a message on money in the book of Obadiah, that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Right? Jesus didn't say, beg my people. He said, feed my people. Right? A biblical principle for all of us, because we're all called into ministry. You're called to minister in your home, to your children, to your grandchildren. And there's various areas of ministry here at the church. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything that we do should be what? For one purpose, for the glory of God. Everything should be for one purpose, for the glory of God. I just love the Proverbs. You know, isn't it a coincidence that there's 31 Proverbs and we have like sometimes 31 days of the week? Or maybe, how many of you have read the Proverb of the Day, right? I just love it. So, yeah, the Proverb of the Day. Or I was taught years ago, like, the Psalms are more like the heart of the Father, like the 7th Psalm, then the 37th Psalm, then the 67th Psalm, then the 97th Psalm, then the 127th Psalm. You know, you start reading those Psalms, and they get inside of it. And here's the thing about when you're fed the Word of God. You know what? I was told, Chuck Smith used to say years ago, what you get people with is what you get is what you keep them with. You get them with entertainment, you better have a better show next week. You get them with sparks and flashes, you better have a better show next week. But when you get them with the Word, here's the thing. When you get people with the Word, they become infected in a good way with the Word of God. And then they share the Word of God. And it's a beautiful thing when you see the Word of God get into people's hearts. And it stirs up their love for Him and their love for one another. It stirs them up to serve. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Again, guys, what a tremendous blessing. You know, for us to do this, let me say this. I'm saying this on behalf of every pastor that I know in this area, okay? We are entering into crazy times, not only in this nation, but in this world. And if there was ever a time when we needed to be assembling together and praying with one another and praying for one another, it's now. I'll never forget when those planes hit the Twin Towers in 2001, we couldn't. There were people filled in this place, in every church, for weeks. I'm telling you, there's a war going on in heaven that makes that like nothing happened. And I don't want to minimize the loss of life. And we need to be praying together more. We've got a week of prayer next month. We're looking for people to open their homes for one night to invite people over to pray. We need to be praying. We need to be in the Word. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be exhorting one another. We need to be challenging one another. And we need to take the gospel to the people that are lost. There's no sense railing against those who are woke and all of that stuff. You know, the only thing that will change them, the same thing that changed you, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And instead of pointing fingers at them, going to them in the name of Jesus. That's the commission. That felt so good to say that. And we all know people that are there. They're not our enemies. They are our mission field. So, Lord, tonight, we thank you. So much to ponder, Lord, so much to ponder. Oh, Lord God, how I find myself more desperate for you every hour, even more tonight leaving here than when I came in. How I need, Lord, your Spirit to stir me up, to inspire me, to just cause me to align my heart with your Word and with your character, Lord. And I pray your richest blessing upon your dear people that are here tonight, Lord. You love them. I pray that they would know how much you love them and that your love for them would inspire them to be, Lord God, those Christ-loving men and women. And as we close tonight, Lord, with worship, may you just hear our praises and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.